In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, there's a verse in Greek. It reads, Pantagraphe theopneustos. And that reads, that's translated literally as, all Scripture is breathed out by God. And as disciples of Jesus, as Christian people, it is important that we understand that that is exactly what Scripture is, right? It is about God. It is God's love letter to us. It reveals God to us. And if we desire to love God deeply, if we desire to know God deeply, if we desire to love our neighbor, as Matt said during the kids' time, the kids' kirk, it is very important that we live lives immersed in Scripture. And that is why we desire for all children to grow up with Scripture, that they learn to treasure it from a very young age. Okay, so this morning, our journey through the book of Exodus continues. And, of course, God is the main character in the book of Exodus. But who is the main human character in Exodus? Moses. And I was reading recently that Moses and Jesus were in a threesome playing golf one day. Did you see this on the sports page? Moses pulled up to the tree and drove a long one. The ball landed in the fairway but rolled directly toward a water hazard. And just as we read last week, Moses raised his staff. The water parted. He walked into the water and he chipped a shot directly onto the green. Jesus strolled up to the tree and hit a nice long one directly toward the same water hazard. Yet miraculously, his ball floated on the water. Jesus walked on the water. He chipped the ball, and it went directly into the hole for a birdie. The third person got up and randomly hit the ball a very long way. It headed out over the fence and into oncoming traffic on a nearby street. It bounced off a truck and hit a nearby tree. From there, it bounced onto the roof of a shack close by, rolled down the gutter, down the drain spot, out onto the fairway, and straight toward the same pond that had attracted Moses and Jesus' golf ball. On the way to the pond, the ball hit a stone, bounced out of the water onto a lily pad where it rested quietly. Suddenly, a very large bullfrog jumped up on the lily pad, snatched the ball into its mouth. Then an eagle swooped down, grabbed the frog, flew away, passed over the green, and dropped the ball directly into the hole. Moses turned to Jesus and said, "Why do we always have to invite your dad?" It's important to laugh. Life is so serious all of the time, and worship is to be a joyful experience, right? We don't come to worship for us. We come to worship to exalt and glorify God. So bearing that in mind, let's approach the Word of God this morning. Now, last Sunday, we read the account of the Israelite passing through the waters of the Red Sea by a supernatural miracle of God performed through Moses. They arrived safely on the opposite side of the water while Pharaoh's army, the chariots, were destroyed by the waters which fell upon them. They then camped by the springs of Elim for several weeks, lingering under the palm trees and taking long drinks of cool water from the oasis springs there. Then it was time for them to move on, to continue their journey to the promised land. But first they had to go to Mount Sinai. Because if you'll recall, in Exodus chapter 3, when God appeared to Moses in the form of a burning bush, he said, "The proof that I will bring my people out of Egypt is this, that you will bring them to this very mountain, and here you will worship me." These people were not only on a physical journey, but they were on a spiritual journey as well. And although there are times of refreshment and faith walks, right, like camping under the palm trees near the springs at Elim, usually they do not last. And soon it is time to head back into the desert, the place of testing, the place of spiritual growth. And that brings us to our reading this morning from Exodus chapter 16, verse 1 to 15. And you can find this in your bulletin, it is also in the pew Bible before you. Hear now God's word. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death."
Said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days."
So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening, you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?" Moses also said, "You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord."
Then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, 'Come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" And while Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud.
And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God."
That evening, quail came and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Will you please pray with me? Lord God, may the meditations of all of our hearts that are gathered here this morning, and may the words, Lord, that flow from my lips truly be pleasing in your sight. For Lord, you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, as we just read, God's people headed south and east, deeper and deeper into the wilderness of the Sinai Peninsula, and came to an area known as the Desert of Sin. Could there ever be a more appropriately named place? It didn't take long before their disposable provisions were nearing an end. Hunger began to set in, and they developed a distorted memory about their captivity in Egypt. We read, in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt." That's a remarkable statement. "There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the foods we wanted, but you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Now bear in mind, these are the same people who had witnessed the 9 plagues that only attacked the Egyptian people, but did not have any impact upon themselves. They survived the 10th plague, right, the plague of the death of the firstborn, because God provided for them a substitute, a perfect lamb that was sacrificed and roasted, and its blood was smeared on their doorframes so that the angel of death, or the destroyer, would pass over their home on their way to the homes of the Egyptians. They experienced God's miraculous rescue of themselves from the army of Pharaoh when they passed safely through the Red Sea. And now, it's just a few weeks later, and they had already forgotten what had happened. It's as if it had never taken place at all. Now, do they cry out to God for food in their hunger? Do they confess their faith in the God who has delivered them from slavery and thirst in the past? Do they ask Moses and Aaron to intercede to God on their behalf? No. They don't say a word to God, not a prayer, not a confession of faith, not a reference to God's promises. Instead, they express their desire to have died in Egypt along with Pharaoh's people. If only God had not passed over us. And they reject the leadership of Moses and Aaron, blaming them for their situation. They completely turn their backs on the God who has done miraculous things up to this date to save them, care for them, and preserve them. Now, the NIV, which we read in worship, uses the word grumble throughout this passage, but it's a stronger word than English grumble. It's not like, you know, the grouchy old guy, get off my porch, right? This is a word that is so strong, it actually infers open rebellion against God. And it started when Moses first went to Pharaoh and the Israelites complained that he made their jobs harder. They grumbled at the Red Sea when they accused Moses of bringing them out of the desert to die. They complained at the waters of Marah immediately prior to this pericope, where the water was bitter before God told Moses to throw a piece of wood into the water to purify it. And they would continue to complain and grumble as the journey continues from our reading today, all the way through the book of Exodus. By the time they arrived at the desert of Sin, at our reading for this morning, they were a nation of complainers, of grumblers, of people who were in rebellion against the God who had saved them. And yet the people of Israel directed their complaints not against God, but against their spiritual leaders, against Moses and against Aaron, charging them essentially with attempted homicide, if not genocide, of a complete people. And rather than blessing Moses and Aaron for all that they had done for them, they chose to impugn their motives, accusing them of trying to destroy the people Israel. And yet amazingly, in spite of their whining, their grumbling, and their rebellion, God listens to the Israelites and gave them what they asked for. Four times in our reading this morning, if you look at verses 7, 8, 9, and 12, you'll see that God heard his people. God not only heard them, but God also provided for them. The Lord said to Moses, we read, I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites, and tell them at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. The God of all creation was promising to provide for his people, and it would be a miracle, a provision of abundance. In verse 4, God tells Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven. And in verse 12, he promises his people that they would be filled with bread. And when this sticky, honeyish bread appears from heaven, they say, what is it? And that Hebrew word is manna. What is it? So manna simply means, what is it?